Chapter 82. Like one who lives in a hurricane belt and recognizes the shape of clouds and the breathless hush that precedes high wind, Ruth knew she would have to deal with the brooding, undirected rage, which would be Sean's reaction to his failure of his plans. His moods came at widely spaced intervals and did not last long, but she feared those moods of his, and like the prudent householder, forewarned of the hurricane's approach, she took precautions to minimize its wrath. When she reached the hotel, she sent an urgent summons to the manager. "In half an hour, I want lunch served in the suite. Not your ordinary bill of fare, something really good." The manager thought a moment. "Oyster? We have a barrel just arrived from Umschlunger Rocks." "Excellent." Ruth liked the man's response to the emergency. "Then I could do a smoked ham, cold venison, cold rock lobster, salads?" "Excellent again. What about cheese?" "Gruyere, Danish blue, camembert." "Wine?" "Champagne?" "Yes," Ruth agreed instantly. She would shamelessly exploit Sean's weakness for it. "A bottle of Veuve Clicquot." "No, on second thoughts, 3 bottles.
"I'll send the wine up first."
"Immediately, with your best glass and a silver bucket," Ruth told him. Then she fled to her toilet. Thank the Lord for French perfume, and this morning, dress of grey silk she had been saving for just such an occasion. She worked quickly, but with skill, upon her face and hair, and when she was finished, she sat quietly before the mirror and composed her features into an expression of peace. The effect was very satisfactory, she decided after critical contemplation. Since it was the way he had first seen it, Sean could never resist her hair in braids. It made her look like a little girl.
"Shall I open the wine, madam?"
"Yes, please," she called into the sitting room, then went through to await the onslaught of the hurricane. 10 minutes later, it came wafting in like a gentle zephyr. With a cigar clamped between its teeth, its hands thrust deep into trouser pockets, and a bemused expression on its face.
"Hey now!" Sean stopped when he saw her and removed the cigar. "That's nice." The fact that he had noticed her appearance was proof that her weather forecast was hopelessly incorrect, and she burst out laughing. "Oh, what's so funny?" Sean asked mildly.
"Oh, nothing and everything. You and me. Have a glass of champagne."
"Mad woman," Sean said and kissed her. "I like your hair like this."
"Aren't you disappointed?"
"About the result, you mean?" "Yes, I suppose I am." He went to the central table and poured wine into the crystal glasses, handed one to her, and took up the other. "I give you a toast, the short, exciting political career of Sean Courtney."
"You wanted to win so badly. But now?"
Sean nodded. "Yes, I always want to win. But now that the game is lost," he shrugged, "shall I tell you something? I was getting a bit sick of all the speechifying and handshaking. I feel that even in my sleep I have a vacant grin on my face." He crossed to one of the leather armchairs and sank down into it gratefully. "There's something else also. Come here and let me tell you about it."
She went to him, sat in his lap, and slid her hand into the front of his shirt so that she could feel the soft, springy hair of his chest and the hard, rubbery flesh beneath. "Tell me," she said. And he told her about Gary. He spoke slowly, telling her everything, about the leg, how it was when they were children, and finally about Michael. She was quiet for a while, and he could see the hurt in her eyes that Sean had been another woman's lover. At last she asked, "Does Gary know that Michael is your son?"
"Yes. Anna told him one night. She told him the night I left Ladyburg. He wanted to kill me."
"Why did you leave?"
"I couldn't stay on. Gary hated me for siring his son, and Anna hated me because I would not go to her."
"She still wanted you then?"
"Yes. That night, the night I left, Anna came to me and asked me to..." Sean paused. "She asked me to, well, you know what I mean."
"Yes," Ruth nodded. Hurt still, and jealous, but making the effort to understand.
"I refused her, and she went to Gary, and in spite, she told him about the child. My God, what a poisonous bitch she is."
"But if she wanted you, Why did she marry Gary?
She was with child. She thought I had been killed in the Zulu War. She married him to provide a father for her child.
I see, Ruth murmured. But why do you tell me this?
I wanted you to understand how I feel about Gary. After what he did to you at that meeting, I can't expect you to have much sympathy for him. But he wasn't trying to hurt you, he was aiming at me. I owe him so much. I never seem able to pay him. That's why
you're glad he won today, Ruth finished for him.
Yes, Sean answered eagerly. You see, don't you, how important this must have been to him. For the first time he was able to... Sean fluttered his hands in frustration as he sought the words.
He was able to compete with you on equal terms, Ruth supplied them for him.
Exactly, Sean struck the arm of his chair with clenched fist. When I went to congratulate him, he was ready to meet me. He invited me out to Tunis Kraal. Just then that evil bloody woman interfered and took him away. But somehow I know it's going to be all right now.
A knock on the outer door interrupted him, and Ruth jumped up from his lap. That'll be the waiter with the lunch.
But before she was halfway across the room, the knock was repeated with such insistence that it threatened to loosen the plaster.
I'm coming!
Irritated, Ruth raised her voice and swung the door open. Led by Bob Sampson, a flood of men rushed into the room. Jabbering and gesticulating, they bore down on Sean. What the hell's going on? He demanded.
You've won, shouted Bob. A recount. You won on a recount by 10 votes.
My God, breathed Sean. And then so softly that only Ruth heard him.
Gary. Poor Gary.
Open that champagne. Send for another case. We're in solidly, all of us, exulted Bob Sampson. So let's drink to the Union of South Africa.